Well, many of us have developed some bad habits somewhere along the way. You know, a couple of months ago, Men's Journal published a list of some of the common bad habits that we tend to pick up. I want to read a few of them to you and let me know in the comments if you're guilty of any of these. Here's the first one, biting your nails. How many of you are guilty of this habit? Gets a lot of germs in your mouth. Here's a second one, skipping breakfast. Have you gotten this bad habit? It's the most important meal of the day. Here's another bad habit, listening to loud music, especially through headphones. Studies show it can lead to long-term hearing loss. How many of you are guilty of that one? Here's another bad habit, stress eating. Some of you, you've had a hard day, you find yourself at the end of a package of Oreos, you know, tears streaming down your cheeks. Here's another bad habit, sitting too long. How many of you have developed this one? You know, when you're stagnant too long, studies show it's connected to all kinds of things, even disease. Here's another bad habit, sleeping too little. How many of you are getting less than 7 hours of sleep? It's a bad habit. Let me give you one more. Responding immediately to your phone every time it pings, rings, or buzzes. It leaves us in a constant state of distraction. You know, when it comes to bad habits, none of us ever set out to develop them. You know, none of us have signed up for a masterclass on how to properly stress eat. Bad habits typically form when we stop paying attention to certain behaviors. And today I want to address one of those behaviors that leads to a lot of bad habits, especially with regard to conflict. And that is how we use our words. You know, in the New Testament books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was writing to Christians in ancient Greece who let a lot of things slide. Bad habits turned into bad patterns, which turned into bad practices, and there was so much sin ravaging the church that the Apostle Paul had to step in and give some corrective instruction. And in the middle of all of this, he penned some of the most beautiful words on love that you'll ever read. He describes a perfect love that God has for us. And if we could just emulate this kind of love in our families, we'll be in a good place. So I'd like to read some of those words together out of 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4, and this is what it says. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We're in the midst of a message series all about resolving conflict in our families, entitled Happy Home. And each week, we want to take at least one phrase from these love verses in 1 Corinthians 13 to apply to the context of our families. In part one, we talked about the phrase, love always trusts. In part two, we looked at how love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking. Today, I want to lock in on this phrase found in verse 5. Love is not rude. Other translations say it this way, love does not dishonor others. Or the New American Standard translation reads, love does not act unbecomingly. Love is not rude. Now, I don't want to oversimplify things, but if we could just nail this, not being rude to one another, we'll be well on our way to having a happy home. Now, there's a lot of ways to be rude. There's a lot of ways to dishonor others. There's a lot of ways to act unbecomingly. But one of the primary ways we do this is with our words. When we get into conflict, we can often be very careless with our words. And I'm afraid many of us have developed some bad habits when it comes to our speech. And it's causing conflict in our homes. It's making them worse and not leading to peace. So today, I want to look at the Bible, God's word, to give us some instruction and encouragement that could help us get closer to having a happy home. So, if you have a Bible or a device with a Bible app on it, turn to the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 4, and if you don't have a Bible with you, we'll display the Bible verses up here on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll kick it off in verse 17. This is what Paul says. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Paul is writing this letter to Christians. And essentially what he's saying is that when you choose to follow Jesus, you can't live like you used to live. Things ought to be different now. No more hardening your heart. No more giving in to every single impulse. No more pretending like you don't know the difference between right and wrong. Paul's saying that's not who you are anymore. And this is the challenge of the Christian life. You're made new, but there's still a whole lot of the old clinging on. Verse 20. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So Paul is making it clear, I didn't teach you any of this stuff. And he uses this opportunity to do a little lesson review. Verse 22, he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul uses a spiritual principle that mirrors a physical one, putting off and putting on. This is something that we do with our clothing every day, or at least we used to before COVID hit. Some of you are still wearing the same clothes you wore to the Labor Day camping trip. Okay. So before we started wearing dress shirts and sweatpants for our video conference calls, we used to change our clothes every day. We'd put off the dirty clothes and put on the clean clothes. We'd put off the old and put on the new. This is the challenge for the Christian. It's not simply to remove old bad habits, but to replace them with good ones. And sometimes we get this mixed up. We just try to put off without putting on, or we try to put on without putting off. I remember hearing the story of an obedient little boy who was learning to get dressed by himself. So his mom told him every day before school, put on a clean pair of underwear. And because he was obedient, he listened to her. But by the end of the week, he was having trouble getting his pants on. So when his mom came to help him, she discovered that he had 7 pairs of underwear on. And they had gotten so thick around his waist that he couldn't zip up his pants. And that's when it occurred to this mom that when she told her child to put on a new pair of underwear, she forgot to explain to him to make sure he takes off the old ones first. This is the challenge for the Christian, to put off and to put on. And when it comes to the use of our words, especially within conflict, there are some things that we need to put off and some things that we need to put on. So what I want to do in our brief time together is I want to give you some new words that can lead to a language of peace in your homes. Words that we could put off and words that we could put on. Now, there's a whole lot to choose from, but I boiled it down to 3. So here's the first one. Here's the first set of words we need to do away with. Put off the exaggerations. What do I mean by this? You know, many of us have developed this bad habit when we get into conflict where we start exaggerating. We start saying things like, you always take their side. You never listen to me. Everything I do is wrong. Nothing I say pleases you. These words are harmful and not helpful. Why? Because they move the conflict out of the present and they stick it in the past. It creates this whole history file about another person's character and exaggerates how they act. And I don't know how many times you've ever experienced this, but I get sucked into these conversations all the time. We start getting lost in the weeds and arguing and resolving the wrong things. Oh, I never listened to you? What about last week when I sat down with you for 4 hours to listen to all your relationship drama? 4 hours. It was more like 5 minutes. No, it wasn't 5 minutes. I've got a text. You texted me at noon and I left at 4. You want to see the text? It's like, what are we doing? What are we even talking about here? Texts and times and what happened last week and last year and 2 decades ago. We're so lost in the weeds. And this is what happens when we exaggerate. We move the conflict out of the present and we stick it in the past. And that makes it unresolvable. I'll go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And this time in verse 15, listen to what Paul says. He says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The call to Christians is to speak the truth in love. And in fact, Paul says that speaking truth in a loving way is one of the hallmarks of Christian maturity. God describes his family as a body. And within this body, we are to speak truthfully to one another. But when you exaggerate, you're not speaking the truth in love. You're actually doing the exact opposite. You're speaking falsehoods in hatred because you're creating a person to be someone they're not. That person you're in conflict with is not always trying to attack you. That person you're in conflict with doesn't criticize everything you do. Exaggerations are not helpful. We got to do away with that behavior. So if we put it off, then what do we put on? Here's what you do. Put off the exaggerations and put on the current situation. What is the present problem? Let's deal with that. Let's not get lost in talking about all the other stuff. Let's deal with the current situation. Paul says, speak the truth in love. And the truth is, we have a problem right now. Let's deal with the right now. Otherwise, we're not going to be dealing with truth. We're going to be dealing with exaggerations. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a chance to put this into practice. This is how we overcome bad habits. So I want to give you a moment to discuss a question. Maybe you're in a room right now with some family members or friends or your small group, or if you're alone, then get engaged in the comment section. But here's the question that I would love for you to discuss right now. What are some other ways to express the following exaggeration? You never trust me. Give that some thought and have some conversation and take a minute to do so right now. Key thing here is that we stay in the right now. So for you, you've got to put off words like always and never and others like them because they are not helpful to the present problem. Let's put off the exaggeration and put on the current situation. Instead, let's use words like right now, it feels like you aren't hearing me. Right now, it seems like you are choosing someone else's side. Right now, it feels like I can't win. Let's deal with the right now. Because when you exaggerate, you create a whole history file on a person. And exaggerating is rude, and love is not rude. So, number one, put off the exaggerations and put on the current situation. Here's the second bad habit with our words that we've got to put off. Number two, put off the threats to end it. Many of us have developed the bad habit when we get into conflict to threaten to end the relationship. We say things like, you know what? Why don't we just get a divorce? Or why don't you go and live in somebody else's house? Or, you know what? We ought to just break up. These words are so dangerous. At best, they are manipulative. At worst, someone might just be mad enough to take you up on your offer. What starts as an idle threat can devolve into filling out the paperwork, the teenager sleeping at a friend's house for weeks on end, or you regretfully slamming the door shut on a godly relationship you needed in your life. If you are a follower of Jesus, this kind of use of words has got to go. Again, let's look to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Followers of Jesus are called to be unified with other followers of Jesus. Body parts are not to be separated from the body. Now, I fully realize that not everyone in your home may be a Christian, may be a follower of Jesus. But the command to Christians remains the same, and that is to make every effort to lead to the bond of peace, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Parents, don't threaten to kick your kids out of the family. That's not making every effort at peace. Married couples, don't casually throw around the word divorce. Stay as far away from the D word as possible, because that's not making every effort that leads to peace. Whether you're single, dating, a roommate, a son or a daughter, don't threaten to end relationships. That's a behavior that is dangerous, and it only makes the conflict worse. So if we put off these threats, what should we put on? Here's what we do. Put off the threats to end it and put on the commitment to solve it. The key to every healthy relationship is commitment. If you are married, you made a commitment to God and before others that you are going to stick with this person for life. If you are a parent, you have made a commitment to raising your child. Others who have friendships, family members, there are levels of commitment that make that relationship work. Let's get back to the commitment and say, we're in this together, so let's figure it out. Let's solve this. You know, I love how God is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to this language. Verse 8, he says, he will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen to all of the commitment language in this. He will keep you firm to the end. God is with you the whole journey. God is faithful, even when we are faithless. He has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus. You are a part of his family when you surrender your life to him. And listen, God doesn't divorce us. He doesn't freeze us out when we get angry with him. He doesn't threaten to take heaven away every time we sin. So why are we doing this with each other? This has got to stop. So let's put off the threats to end it, and let's put on the commitment to solve it. So again, I want to give you an opportunity to discuss this very thing, to put this into practice so that we can put off this old habit. So here's what I would like for you to discuss right now. Instead of threatening to break off the relationship, what are some words we can use that communicate commitment? Let's take a moment to discuss that right now. when we get into conflict, we tend to look at a person who's on one side of the gulf and we're on the other side. Let's get back to focusing on commitment. Let's put off old words like threatening to end a relationship, and let's try new words. Let's put on new words like, let's get on the same side of the problem. We're in this together. Let's figure this out together. We're a team. I'm your husband. I'm your wife. I'm a part of this family. I'm your best friend. Let's work on this together. When you threaten to end relationships, you dishonor others, and love does not dishonor others. Make every effort to maintain peace, which is why we need to put off the threats to end it and put on the commitment to solve it. Let me give you one more bad habit that's got to go. Here's the third one. Put off words that are destructive. Again, when we get into conflict, many of us have developed a bad habit where we get very reckless with our words. Our mouths are like a loaded gun. And when the skirmishes flare up, we start shooting at each other and often leave our relationships wounded, sometimes wounded beyond repair. Some of us resort to name-calling. Some of us use obscenities. Some of us insult or cut down or break a person's spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, this kind of behavior is totally unacceptable and it's got to go. Again, let's go back to Paul's words in Ephesians 4, this time in verse 29. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Even in this very verse, Paul exemplifies putting off and putting on. He doesn't just say, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." But he challenges us to take a step further and says, "But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Put off the unwholesome talk, put on the building up. Put off the destructive, put on the constructive. And that's the next step we have to do. Put off words that are destructive and put on words that are constructive. Paul uses the illustration of a building. Words that are destructive tear the building down and leave it in a pile of rubble. And when we get into conflict, some of us are like a wrecking ball and we're gonna do whatever we can to reduce that other person. The challenge is to build the person up, use words that are gonna strengthen and encourage. And when we get in conflict, that is incredibly difficult. And that's where we need to be asking God, "God, help me in my words right now." Paul uses the illustration of a building. His contemporary James has the same message, but uses a different illustration. This is James chapter 3. Listen to what he says. "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts." One of the things that I've noticed with people who really struggle with being self-controlled in the way they speak to others is that they've taken the standpoint, "You know what, I'm just not gonna say anything." You get in a conflict and you go, "Nope, I'm gonna walk away. I'm not gonna get myself in trouble with words." And again, if this has been a struggle for you, remaining silent is a step in the right direction. But both Paul and James challenge us to take a step further. Paul says, "Don't just put off the unwholesome talk, put on the building up." James says, "Steer the conversation towards something healthy." He says, "Steer it. Don't just park it." When we choose silence, we park it. James says, "Steer the animal." The rudder steers the ship. When we put off the destructive words, we've got to make sure we put on constructive words. That is what steers a person in the right direction. This is one of those preventative maintenance measures we could take that can dramatically reduce the likelihood of conflict in our homes. Why is it so hard for us to just say things that are kind and encouraging and constructive. I remember years ago when I was a youth pastor, we were doing a parent-teenage event where we set parents up to say something kind and encouraging about their teenage sons and daughters. And I remember there was this one dad who just could not bring himself to say anything kind to his son. And finally, after fumbling over his words, he muttered out, "You know, he's a good kid when he's not being lazy." Why couldn't we just stop at the compliment? This is what we call a compassault. It's a compliment mixed with an insult. And I could tell that this dad kind of felt bad about that. And so in an attempt to justify himself, he said, "Well, you know, I just don't want the kid to get a big head." And judging by how little this father handed out compliments, I'm quite certain that this boy was not going to struggle with having a big head. Probably a wounded heart, but not a big head. The challenge is to not just put off the destructive words, not just remain silent, but take it a step further and say something encouraging. And again, I want to give you another opportunity to put this very thing into practice. So I want you to take a minute and say something encouraging about another person in the room. If you're all by yourself, send off a text message or call someone after this message is over. But let's take a minute to do that right now. That's so hard. You see, a happy home is characterized by words that build up, not words that tear down. Words that tear down are rude, and love is not rude. Let's put off words that are destructive and put on words that are constructive. Again, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." If you've trusted in Jesus, you have the power of God in you, His Holy Spirit, to help you put off the old habits and put on the new ones. Shed those old clothes. But I also need to acknowledge that there are plenty of you who are watching this right now who don't have that same power. You've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord, be your Savior, to take over. I don't know why. Maybe there's a pessimism or a pride or a hesitation, but you've pushed Jesus away. And at the same time, you're looking at your current family situation and all the drama going on. You're saying, something has to change. Something does have to change. And I think you know what that is. You have to surrender your life over to Jesus. The way that you begin a personal relationship with Christ is simply praying to Him. It starts with admitting your own sin. You see, our sin causes an unresolved conflict between us and God, which puts a barrier there. And simply acknowledging our own sin is a step towards resolving that conflict. The second step is to place your full trust that Jesus came to remove the barrier, to resolve the conflict. He did this by dying on a cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven and can have a relationship with God. We have to place our faith that Jesus was sinless, that He loves us, that He died for us, that He took away the penalty that we should have paid so that we can be forgiven. And then just ask Him, change me. not just change my circumstance, but change me. You know, if you want to begin a personal relationship with Jesus, I can help you do that. I can lead you in a prayer where all you have to do is repeat after me, but you got to believe the words. Pray them right up to God, and He will hear you. So let's do that right now. Let's pray to Him right now. Repeat after me. Jesus, I cry out to you. I admit my sin before you. I believe you died for someone like me. Will you forgive my sin? Will you change my heart, God? Will you help me love others the way you love me? Today, I give you my life. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in earnest today, you began a life-transforming relationship with Jesus. And when you begin a relationship with anyone, you don't just walk away never to be heard from again. You take that next step that helps the relationship grow. And so I want to challenge you to do that right now. I want you to pick up your phone and text the word next to the number that's on the screen. We've got people there ready to exchange some texts with you to help you grow in this new relationship with Jesus. If you have a relationship with Christ, are you growing? Are you in a small group? Are you serving? Maybe you just need some help getting started. Again, text the word next to the number on the screen. Maybe you're someone who needs prayer. If you're watching this live right now, we've got prayer partners on standby, ready to pray with you. Just type in the comments section that you need prayer, and we can do that right now. But the key thing is to take that next step. Here's my challenge to everyone. At some point this week, I want you to jump on our website, sunrisechurch.org. And right there on the front page is a carousel of things happening around Sunrise. And you click on the Happy Home link. And it brings you to the week's message. And just below that, you'll see a little bar that says Family Discussion Guide. My challenge to you is to pick one night this week where you go through these questions with the people living in your home. I did it just last night, and I'm telling you, we had incredible conversation around the dinner table with my family. This is how we get going. This is how we develop some new habits. This is how we put on the new. Take it seriously and do the discussion questions. If you missed any, you could always go back to previous weeks and do those as well. Friends, if you have the power of the Spirit working in you, you have the power to put off the old and put on the new. We've given you examples, we've given you resources. The only thing we haven't given you is conflict. But if you're anything like me, you don't have to look very far to find that. The most important thing is that God gives you His Spirit, and His Spirit can help transform bad habits into good ones. So let's put off the exaggerations and put on the current situation. Let's put off the threat to end it and put on the commitment to solve it. Let's put off words that are destructive and put on words that are constructive. And if we're willing to put in the effort, partnering with the power of the Spirit in our lives, we will take a step closer to having a happy home. Do you believe it? I know I do. Worship team, back to you.